Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Our radio audience and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective.
We're going to be talking about, man, the rally. There's a rally that occurred in Washington, D.C. for Israel. And that's so encouraging because, you know, although Israel right now is not so much in the news, I mean, Operation Protective Edge is over for now. Mm-hmm. I'm very encouraged to see that many people are still standing with Israel, and the rallies and the support for Israel has not stopped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, typically, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And I know that this is not the case with many of the Christians and American Jews that live here in America. Their heart for the Jewish people is just so beautiful, those that live in Israel. And we can't remain silent. We cannot close our eyes to what's happening there. I mean, think about it. Sometimes it's troubling to carry on your heart, really, all the sufferings that are happening around the world. And who wants to go around thinking about, you know, the plight of the Jews in Israel and the horrific things that were done to them and 10,000 rockets? I mean, you know, God can grace us with a compassion, a grace to bear, but we cannot grow weary in well-doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we faint not, we're going to reap a harvest. We're going to reap, and we want to see the reaping of souls.
Right.
But I'm encouraged by the rally that has taken place. We're going to hear from Penny Nance with CWA organizations, the Christian Women's Organization Association, that is doing some phenomenal work. And they had a rally in Washington, D.C. To stand for Israel. And we want to encourage you that whenever there is a rally in your city, in your area, come out to support Israel.
Yeah.
Be one that stands up for Israel. If you haven't become a member yet, maybe you may want to join Christians United for Israel. That's an organization that stands with Israel. And of course, stand with VFN TV. I mean, we have covered every bit of the Operation Protective Edge. And from day one, you know, three pillars of our program is for God, for country, and for Israel. And support VFN TV is we're standing for Israel. But I want you to watch what occurred at the CWA rally there in Washington, D.C., and those who spoke at it. Former Governor Mike Huckabee was there, Eric Stackelbeck there with CBN, and they had all interesting things to share. Watch this.
Targets. Hundreds of people met in Jerusalem Sunday, joined by millions around the world, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The 13th annual Day of Prayer brought both Jews and Christians together to pray in what has grown into a worldwide event. God TV broadcasts the prayer meeting internationally.
We're here today because Jerusalem is really a city like no other. And people often don't understand that what happens in and around this city impacts the nations of the world. Everyone who is concerned with the future of our planet needs to be concerned with what happens in Jerusalem and with praying for the peace of Jerusalem, which is the key to peace for all the nations.
Thousands of churches around the world also took part in the prayer meeting. It encourages people to follow the command in Psalm 122, verse 6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they that love you prosper. And here in the U.S., former presidential candidate Governor Mike Huckabee and Concerned Women for America joined forces to sponsor the Stand with Israel rally on Capitol Hill. Paul Strand brings us the story.
The president of Concerned Women for America explained this rally was birthed when she was in Israel and realized why it's important to support Israel today as it faces enemies who want to wipe it out. She asked herself then if she would have supported Jews during World War II when they also faced the threat of extinction.
If I had been alive during the Holocaust, what would I have done? Would I have been one of those people, one of those Christians who just turned away and turned a blind eye to the evil that was right before me.
Showing support for Israel isn't just taking an altruistic stand, because those here were quick to point out that the enemies who would destroy Israel first are completely ready and dedicated to turning around and destroying America next.
Former Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee said he believes God will save Israel from destruction. But ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran still want to destroy it. And he warns they wouldn't stop there.
You honestly think that if they were to achieve that they would say, well, that's it, we're done. Israel isn't the ultimate target, we are.
CBN's terrorism analyst Eric Stackelbeck agreed, pointing out that Iran will have intercontinental ballistic missiles by 2015, and it could use those missiles to target America.
Israel is the little Satan, a bump on the road to the great Satan. Us, their words, not mine.
Concerned Women for America wanted to show there are also many young concerned women for Israel. Among them, Raquel Minka, a young Baltimore Jew, who when she heard there'd be an anti-Israel protest in her neighborhood, threw together a counter-rally with hundreds more participants. To her, this is personal.
My grandparents are Holocaust survivors. They fought the fight. My dad is a wounded IDF veteran. He fought the fight. And now I'm doing the same.
Leading conservative writer Bill Kristol says America has to take a stand in the Middle East and fight.
We know what a world without an Israel and with an America that's weak and withdrawn looks like. And that's the world of 1939 or so, 75 years ago. And that's a world that leads to a world war, and that's a world that leads to a Holocaust.
Paul Strand, CBN News, Capitol Hill.
Wow, absolutely encouraging. You know, just a few days ago, Christians all over the world rallied to pray and stand in solidarity for the peace of Jerusalem. And we want to encourage you that whenever you can, as the Lord brings to your mind, maybe you need want to write a prayer target or have a specific day that you dedicate in all your prayers to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Continue to pray for Israel. I mean, we're right in the middle of the four blood moons, and we know that during the four blood moons that it starts with tragedy, and then it ends with joy. And so we want to, you know, make sure that we're doing our part. There's nothing like falling asleep during a time like that.
Yeah, and don't wait for, you know, if you have not seen a rally for Israel, start one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Try to reach out to the leaders and bring a support for Jerusalem to your city.
Absolutely. Well, we stand for Israel. We stand for the apple of God's eye. And we say, hey, listen, do it. Do it today. Be a part of serving God, not just, you know, serving God in your community, but also, you know, as a way of reaching out to, you know, Jews. Stand for them, you know, because it's them first and then us. Mm-hmm. And JJ, remember, we're seeking the heat turned up, if you will. Well, we're going to continue to be talking today, and we've done this on a previous program, about the gift of God, salvation. And as I was, you know, reading in Ephesians, you know, you get a clearer picture sometimes of really what happened here. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says that we were at one point in Ephesians 2, objects of God's wrath. I mean, we were enemies of God, enemies of Him. And because He loved us so much, because of His great love for us, Ephesians 2:4, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. And it is by grace that you have been saved. And think about that. It's by grace that you've been saved. There's nothing, not one thing, that we could add or do to earn our salvation. And although salvation is given and is available to everyone as a free gift, it is only received by those that are humble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the humble that receive it. It's available to everyone. And I started thinking about that. I mean, in order for someone to receive salvation, they have to go through a process, really, of coming to the end of themselves, where they realize that, I'm a sinner, right? I've sinned. You have to come to an acknowledgement. Two, that they are lost, and in their present state, they're destined for hell, right? And that their current life that is away from Jesus actually right now offends him and hurts him. I mean, think of the processes. I mean, these may happen really quick, and they may happen at one moment, but these are the things that eventually someone who doesn't know God has to come to grips with. I am a sinner. I am lost and destined to hell without God, without Jesus. That my current life away from God right now actually offends and hurts him. And they have to come to the place where they admit that what they're doing right now, and their false righteousness is actually wrong. Mm. Think about that. You got to come to grips with that. And I think about the church of Revelation where, you know, they have a perception in their mind that they're rich, but they find out that they're blind, you know, poor, pitiful, and naked. You know, they think that they have need of nothing. And God says, you're blind. You're blind. And that's the thing. I mean, oftentimes I think that what hinders people from coming to the saving knowledge of God, one of the greatest things, is the great deception of pride. Pride causes people to be blind where they can't see their true state of where they're at. And the devil's a master deceiver. And he gets people, you know, caught up in this whole pride thing. And they never see their true spiritual condition. They either don't believe that they're a sinner, they don't think they need a savior. I remember Leonard Ravenhill was asked, what is the greatest sin? And somebody thought, probably someone would think murder, adultery. And Leonard Ravenhill said that the greatest sin is when a person tries to attempt to live their life apart from God. That's the greatest sin, to live your life apart from God. And I believe that's why many people that actually find God, they often find God after they've been humbled through some trials in their lives. They've encountered a humbling, if you will. And oftentimes you've heard people say maybe when that person, you know, enters a trial, or maybe when that person enters a hardship, that because of that hardship and because of that difficulty and because of that suffering, that at that point they will look up. And I oftentimes I would think, yeah, maybe that's just probably right, you know. But then I had another idea that I've known people that have gone through trials, troubles, hardships, difficulties, devastation, and in the midst of that devastation, they didn't look for God. And so I was reminded that in the midst of a trial and a tribulation and a hardship and a setback doesn't necessarily guarantee that someone turns to God. But if that process brings humility in their life, it's the humility that brings them to God. Not necessarily the trial. It's if the trial produces humility. It cracks away at the pride of the self-reliance of taking, you know, a high estimation of oneself. And because here's the whole thing. God gives grace to the humble. God gives unmerited favor, right, to the humble. And salvation is that favor. Salvation is that gift. But you can't receive salvation from a blind, prideful state. You know what I mean? You're just not going to get it. In fact, 2 Corinthians, I believe, says that 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world, the little g God of this world, has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever that they may not see the glorious hope of Jesus Christ. It's blinded their eyes. They can't see. They're blind. And so what we would need to be able to do is help people come to a place where they can walk, pray for them, that they become humble in God, that pride gets chipped away at their life, that there's a crack there. Because all you need is a small amount of light. You're living in darkness. When there's just a small amount of light, it pierces through the darkness, and they have an opportunity. The conditions of their heart are in a place where they can begin to receive God. Because I've have found out that when people get to that place of humility, it's like, okay, this is that. Their heart is soft enough to be able to receive the planted and the preached word of God into their life. And the condition of their heart is ready now to be able to see that life-changing word. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about how salvation is available to everyone, but it's only the humble that receive this amazing gift when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
What are students' rights in public schools concerning their faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter, she's in ninth grade at a public school, and she was in a private school before that. She's very vocal about her faith, and my question is, what are her rights? I thought I heard that there was a booklet or something.
Well, we've got a great resource actually available, Mary, on our website that is kept very current. If you just go to aclj.org, great resources on students' rights in school. And students have broad free speech rights and religious expression rights on campus. It's students do not surrender the rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. So they've got great, great free speech rights. The thing they can't be is disruptive to the school environment. That is the standard. So as long as it's not disruptive, they carry the day.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. Salvation, it's a gift for all, but it is the humble that receive it. And this was quickened to me in my spirit as I was just praying and just abiding with God and just, you know, talking with him, you know, just praying about this whole thing, because, you know, oftentimes we've prayed or we've thought the idea that if someone or America faces difficulties and trials, that obviously in that place that people would probably look up and say, okay, you know, I'm just reaping a harvest, and, you know, I need to just turn from my ways and realize I wouldn't be in this situation because I wouldn't have left God, and, you know, I wouldn't be suffering the consequences of my poor decisions. And although logically that wouldn't make sense, you know, we don't necessarily come to God from a logical point of view, right? From a thinking process necessarily, you know, we just measure everything up, but we come because our hearts have been changed. Our eyes have been opened. We were able to see the reality of what's happened. And our prayer, I think, needs to be that when people do face trials and tribulations and hardships and setbacks, when they are reaping the consequences of a life that's been apart from God, a life that said, I don't want nothing to do with Jesus, that when they're facing that we pray that trial, that setback, that difficulty would do its work and bring that person to a humble state, a place where that pride of life would be broken, would be cracked, so that their heart would be in such a condition that they would be soft, that they could be in a place now that they can receive the gospel. Because if a person is prideful, it's like their heart is so hard that when the seeds of the gospel go, they just bounce off that concrete, goes nowhere. Mm-hmm. And this is what pride does. For a sinner, it causes them to be blind to the realities of sin and that they need a savior. That's one thing it does. Or the other thing it does, it fills them with religious pride, believing in some sort of false righteousness of their own. This is a false righteousness. Either way, lost is lost. Either way, you're blind. And what we need to pray is that people come to a place where they're humble in heart, where they're meek, where they're at a place, because then God can give them grace. How many times would you give something to somebody? It's like, isn't it difficult to give something to a child that's so prideful and, unappreciative? You're like, you can't really appreciate this right now because you think you deserve it. And you're going to abuse the thing because you didn't receive it with the right heart. And God knows us. He designed us. He knows that we're just made of dust, and that our hearts right now are deceitfully wicked, that no man can even know this his own heart. And the heart has to go through a process where they can receive the compassion, the word of God, the truth of God. Because we've talked about this even during the break. I mean, how many people have we been able just to see, and even in our own lives? But you see people go through trial upon trial, setback upon setback, destruction upon destruction. Mm-hmm. And you sit back and say, how many more fires could you go through? How much more devastation could you bear? How much pain can you continue to cause yourself and others without coming to the realization that you're reaping the fruit, you're reaping a harvest? Very simple, from a life without God. I mean, at what point do you humble yourself and say, man, I need God. I really, really need God. And humility is going to be the key. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the humility to receive the gift, right? Because it's freely available. But it's also to keep our walk, because you can become so prideful and then leave. God doesn't tie you down to a relationship. You can actually walk away from God, believe it or not, Mm-hmm. Ask Paul. Demas, where are you, Demas? He left, left him. Left God and just left the whole thing. And so I think that's one way that we can pray, because there's people that are going to be going through rough times. And it's like, why waste the trial? Why waste the hard difficulty in your life? And he's like, listen, don't play at this. Mm-hmm. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and let that hard heart be broken. I think some people even know that their heart is hard. If you're away from God, it's a great prayer to pray. God, soften my heart. Help me to be humble. I want the pride out of my life. Pride is just so deceiving. It's blinding. It's so blinding, and you'll have you walking over a cliff, and you won't even know until it's done. Lower still, you wonder like how many basements, you got subterranean floors there. I mean, you just keep going down and down. I'm like, hey, I'm done. Stump a toe, Hey, Unc, I'm out. Jesus, here I am. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't have that type of tolerance for pain, I don't think. It's like, this is, but it takes a revelation of God to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's so huge because, you know, for a long time I've been meditating, just praying on, like, the four soils and the parable that Jesus presented. And it's just like, yeah, there's that soil that hears the seed, but it is immediately stolen away. And then there's the seeds that receive it. And it's just like, there has to be that process of understanding. Like, there was a moment, I mean, I've been thinking about it in my own life, and it's just like, I'm sure there were people that shared Jesus with me, but I just did not hear it. I just don't remember it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's just like the hardships and the trials and just the devastation and the difficulties that God brought me through. And it's just like, that's the exact same thing. But the pivotal thing is that so often it's like you can see those hardships, and a lot of people look internally and say, well, I've got to pull myself up by my bootstraps, or I got to do it on my own. And that's the thing. Pray that in that moment of quote unquote rock bottom, of just devastation, that they look up, that they see, God, who are you? Jesus, who are you? And that's that critical moment of just like you're saying, there's so much power in humility, the cloak of humility. And it's just like, I think about, and in one of the books I've been reading, it talks about the fact of just like, God gives grace to the humble, but he rejects the proud.
Yeah.
And it's
the Bible says that, you know, I mean, the whole thing is that you can't come to God in your own head. You can't come to God in your own mindset. Mm-hmm. You come to God in a humble state, in a broken state, what you can give him, because your righteousness is filthy rags. You can do nothing for God, but except you receive his love, receive his forgiveness, and in return you give him your life.
Yeah.
But you can't earn it. And pride will cause you to have a hard heart and be blind, where you can't even receive. So no matter what trial you go through, it's wasted because you weren't humble in the midst of it. You missed it. So now you got to go around that mountain one more time. Mm-hmm. Again, here we go. And forget going around the mountain. Make a decision today that, you know what, in this place, wherever I find myself in this broken devastation, I'm going to reach out to God in humility and say, God, I need you. Would you come into my heart and change my life?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is so cool. All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I know this is kind of out of topic, what we've been talking about in this program, but I do want to talk about, you know, studying Vietnam and what was happening there in the 60s and, you know, watching some really excellent documentaries we have available for you right now. You can go to the VFN Torch and see them. I believe it's called Vietnam in HD. So they do today's technology to tell a story by then. And but you're just watching the lives of these soldiers, and they're talking about, you know, what it was like. And I believe it was like one third were voluntary, and the rest of them were drafted.
Right.
I mean, it's bad enough when you volunteer, but you can imagine, you know, one guy was saying, he said, you know, I just graduated from school. I just got a great job at an aircraft company. I was there like 5 weeks.
Wow.
And my number came up and I had to leave. I had to go. You know, another guy said, he was in Oxford and he felt like, you know, my buddies are drafted and here I am in Oxford. And he was there for a couple of weeks. He's like, I just got to go. I cannot stay here. I got to go. You know, how can I be here while my friends and my buddies are fighting, you know, out there because they got drafted. And so you have these, your everyday, you know, 19-year-old, 18-year-old, maybe high is maybe 24 years old going to fight this war, and which, you know, they did an excellent job. But the reasons why the leaders wanted to go to war is a question. And then you see the tragedy taking place in war. And as Christians, I mean, you think about this, and I know a lot of, you know, men and women who are Christians in the military and they love God. And we did that segment. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to it, talking about just following orders, the Milgram obedience test. You know, we talked about all that. And the military is all about following orders. I mean, you got, you know, it's all about, you don't follow orders, you're going to follow to the brig or whatever they call it.
You won't do well.
You won't do well because that's strictly about, I used to joke around when I was in the military, this is a communistic organization protecting a democratic nation. Do your job, Lancaster. Anyway, so, and so it's all about following orders. And we're so quick just to say, you know, somebody says take the hill. That's what you're supposed to take the hill. You got your guys. You need this, you know, this is what they always say, right? You're fighting really for the guy next to you. You're not fighting for some flag somewhere. You're fighting for, you know, Steve and Bob and whoever's right beside you. And you're making sure both of you stay alive and you, you know, whatever the initiative is that you, you meet that initiative. But in that, you gotta hope that there's moral leadership, that somebody in the upper chain has values. And as a Christian, that they would, that, that the person, that the leader's values would line up with God's values. I mean, cause you have dictators, you have, I mean, you have, some things that's happened in the history of America. When you study, some of the wars that took place, I mean, the whole world was at war. We were avoiding it and avoiding and avoiding. And finally, you know, for whatever reasons, we weren't there. And there's a lot of people that talk about it, but we got into it. You know, the sinking of the Lusitania or whatever it's called, you know, just started stepping in there and saying, you know, we're going to, you know, people are trying to take over the world. And some really good came, you know, from those, you know, World War One and World War Two, and America did not dispossess people from their lands and take it over and take all their treasures, and, you know, that was what evil leadership would do. But what they did was they just gave it back. They even helped them. There was a movie recently talked, I don't know if it was about art, but it was something about the men, museum men or something. And they went and discovered all the treasures that Hitler had taken.
The Monument Men.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, and they went and located all the art that Hitler was taking in gold and all. And but evil regimes, evil leadership, you know, would keep all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that's so unique about America and those wars were, you know, we are, let's just work together here. And you had nations working together and trying to figure things out. Not everything's perfect when you're dealing with humanity. You know, but as Christians, I mean, it's very important who's telling us to go to war and why they're going to war. We have to ask the question. We cannot, if all of a sudden, you know, that, you know, and Hitler was elected. He was elected by one vote, some people say, but, you know, in his government. And then he begins to bring his party in, the Nationalist Party. Mm-hmm. And then, so, and then all of a sudden you have somebody over your government and over your military who's not, doesn't have values, who is against God. And I know from just talking to former military and some experiences, there are some ungodly leaders who do some ungodly things, and the soldiers, you know it, but the overall leadership, but if Hitler's your commander in chief,
mm-hmm.
and he's launching you out. And that's what that Milgram study was about. Just obeying orders. It was all about obedience, you know, because people just say, I'm just following orders. That's what you do in the military. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, you know, it's like, but it matters which country you're in at the time. If Mao is over your country, just following orders may mean, you know, just murdering your own citizens. If Pol Pot is the one over your country and you're a soldier in, you know, Cambodia, it could mean killing 25% of your own population. If Hitler is your commander in chief, it could mean killing 6 million Jews, Christians, unwanted, what they thought was unwanted. It could be all of that. Mm-hmm. The Nidal crystal glass, you know, and it's like, as Christians, you just can't say, you can't, I mean, which means is we're getting closer and closer to the time when you really, really understand. If that's why it was good to have a nation that strived for the Judeo-Christian values mm-hmm. that we were founded on and the principles and the freedom, the very fact that we have the First Amendment that allows us to be able to serve God freely and worship God freely. But let me tell you what else it does. It allows us to be able to preach the gospel and win people to the Lord. The fact that we're not telling other fellow Americans about Jesus and expanding the kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness is increasing. And now we have a large part of our population don't even want anything to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
And is it because they don't want anything to do? Or we did not walk before them in a right. way that was worthy of the call. And we didn't tell them about Jesus. We just went into buildings and places, but we didn't walk this thing out. Then we became conservatives instead of Christians. Then we blended ourselves into political party and our parties, whatever it is. Instead of just saying, we need to preach the gospel. There's power in the gospel of Christ. Because whoever our leader is, that's who's going to make the armies and say, we're going to go to war. And somebody says, well, that's just how it is, you know. But you think about this. In the end, you got to live with these things. And even when it's right, even when it's a righteous thing, war is evil in itself. In regards to it's dark in itself. You've got to take lives. You've got to destroy things if they won't let go.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum force necessary. And I remember listening to this reporter that they had this flamethrowers, you know, in Vietnam, and they had it there because it was all jungles. Like you couldn't mm-hmm. just had to burn out the foliage and all that kind of thing. And so this young man from Chicago, they sent these flamethrowers down when they first got there. They realized we're going to have to burn out this underbrush. So he sees this kind of hefty, strong man from Chicago, and he says, hey, why don't you get familiar with that? We're going to use that. And he did. And when he began to use that weapon, shrapnel hit the tanks. The gas tanks that he was carrying on his back. And that's those things. You have it on your back. And mm-hmm. then you throw the mm-hmm. like a bug sprayer
right.
type thing. And right in front of all of his battalion, his troops right there, he just burns right in front of them.
Mm.
This is the first days of Vietnam and the aspect of going in the way they were. And then they begin to drop napalm. Napalm burns at 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit. And they would just drop napalm everywhere to burn everything out. And they got so close to the troops that they were supposed to be helping.
Mm-hmm.
That three, this is their first bout, three, they watched three of their own soldiers get burned by napalm where they were dancing. And you're shaking yourself trying to get the fire off of you, but you have this liquid gas, napalm, on you at 3,600 degrees, and they watched them burn in front of them. And so this journalist that was embedded, you know, goes up there, and the leader's captain, whoever, says, go get them. And so they go to get them, and he goes to pick up one of the soldiers by his boots who just got burned. And he said the boots just shedded into ashes.
Wow.
And when he started to pick him up, his skin just slid off. And he said, I could feel the bones in his ankles. He says, this is what he said. He says, he's my nightmare. All these years later, and he named the young man. He says, this man's my nightmare. Young man, 18 years old. And so when we say we need to go to war, we got to be slow to speak, slow to move in anger. We have to ask ourselves, is it worth laying the life down of you or your son or your daughter down?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a godly thing? I mean, in the end, when you stand before God, would this be something that God would be pleased with? Or is this somebody pushing their agenda? Somebody, you know, is it truly about oil? You know, is it about gold? Is it about, you know, wanting to control the world? Or is it about in defense of someone, in defense of a nation, in defense of a people? And you have to ask yourself that. Now, remember, you listen to Dr. King's speeches, he began to ponder all that as a believer. You know, he's like, this Vietnam, is it a righteous war? Is it, you know, we got to stand up for our troops. We need to not just keep sending our guys over here to die. Mm-hmm. We need to ask ourselves. And they were like, kind of. And they're real ambivalent. They wouldn't mm-hmm. define it. And so you start thinking about it and you start thinking, well, okay, this is it. So imagine if you had a leader in the country. And understand our president is commander in chief, so they call him that because mm-hmm. he's over the military.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, we need to go to war against Syria because of ISIS. So we need to go to war against, you know, ISIS or ISIL or whatever. Or in the same breath could say, we need to go to war against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Or we need to go to war against Christians in the Ukraine.
Wow.
Like Putin's doing. Mm-hmm. The commander-in-chief of Russia is saying, you know, let's go to war against Ukraine. This stuff about just following orders, you have to understand, you're going to answer. You can't just, I mean, if Hitler mm-hmm. tells you to take this man or this woman and this child down to a gas chamber, you are standing in between Nebuchadnezzar and God at that point. You have to make your decision. Am I willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace? Because I cannot take this woman and this child to this gas chamber. I'm not going to kill this Jewish man and one family. I'm not going to behead this person. Or I'm not going to, you know, whatever these people are doing. I mean, you can't just say I'm following orders. So we're coming up a time we've got to really ask ourselves, because America's losing its moral compass. If America goes to war at a time like this, the mm-hmm. question is, who would you be fighting? Why are you fighting? And this is like a Pol Pot regime. Is this mm-hmm. some, you know, Mao regime? I know some of the leaders have said, you know, one of my famous quotes is from Mao, you know,
yeah.
and it's like, what are your famous quotes from Mao? I mean, that's a communist leader there. And more when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
Every single weekend, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all going all the way to Monday morning at 9 a.m. when the live program starts, every single weekend we have Marathon Weekend. What is that? That's every program that was live throughout that week plays back to back.
Back to back.
Marathon Weekend. You got to get it.
Speaking of trophies for humility, you know, I had a wonderful time to be able to have lunch with Pat's son Jonathan, and he played football really well. Mm. I mean, he had to. His dad.
Dear Lord. No choice, Lord.
To help him always do well in sports.
It's in the genes, man.
Right. Is that what you call that?
That's what he said.
And Jonathan to talk with.
Yes. Time. Even his dog has a Saint shirt. So
Yes, he does.
Of course, the dog's like, I'm a Pittsburgh fan. Anyway, so.
Oh, whatever.
Jonathan and I are having lunch, and he was telling me about his trophies. He got two medals.
His medals.
He got medals. He's a really good player in football, flag football, and he got these medals. And I said, "Whoa, what are the medals for?" And he says, "They're for humility." And I'm thinking, I'm like, tilt. I'm like, okay, so. Do you get it, but you can't show the medal? I mean, how do you get a medal? How do you get a medal for humility, right?
Right.
And Jerry and goes, my son it. Goes, Jerry goes, does it come with a blanket? And he's going, and Jonathan's going, I'm shooting for four. a word of knowledge out there for those that are handing out medals for humility. That might be counterintuitive.
Counterintuitive.
Is that something? Oh my goodness. Today we want to be for humility. Mrs. Jones in our church congregation. She's the most humble woman around. Thank you very much. I worked very hard for this.
And I'm going to work even harder for the next recognition.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, Steve, I know that, you know, you did two tours of duty in Iraq, so this is fresh on your heart and mine. And, you know, since then, you know, you met Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a whole story on that. We'll make that mm-hmm. related to us so you can find out. But he was choking out either a lady or ranch dressing or a drink or
myself.
You got to go. Well, listen to the whole thing to find out where you met God. But I mean, these are real issues. I mean, can you imagine now a whole different, you're going as a Christian
mm-hmm.
and you say you're going to go to Iraq, and it's like, how, what a huge perspective now, because seeing that example is, you know, Islam has done that to these folks, Sunni, Shiite, religious division,
mm-hmm.
A religion in itself that denies Jesus Christ as mm-hmm. the Son of God. And here you are as a Christian knowing that, okay, I'm going to follow orders. The only answer here is going to be the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost say, heck, it's strategize where I can let missionaries know this is where you need to come here. You need to be here. You can almost map out stuff for people because mm-hmm. the only answer is going to be the gospel. It's not going to be right. going there with force. They're finding out all this force, all this effort, and all that land's been given right up, which is just, you know,
yeah.
horrific.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in Cambodia is that, you know, the gospel does not get spread by force. You know, men, you know, it's forcefully advancing. We're going through great difficulties, furnace, persecution, all that. But it's through people making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. It's the preaching of the gospel. And so, I mean, understanding that, I mean, that's pretty huge, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, now you're like that thing going on inside of you.
Yeah, it's a huge. Yeah. I mean, even just talking about it, it's just like it's amazing. It's like when we get on that, so many things just come to the surface that you don't, that you forget are there. And it's like what we were talking about during the break earlier, and it's just like that perspective of war from those that are unaware of it. You know, they look at someone with a chest full of medals,
right?
And they praise, and they're like, wow, you know. And it's just like it's a different perspective to the one who's wearing it,
right?
You know, because they remember the travesties. They remember those that are no longer standing, and that's the perspective that we need to have, because it's just like. You know, I think about the first time I saw somebody that had a Medal of Honor, and it's just like you go through the motions. Yeah, I'm supposed to honor. I'm supposed to render the salute because it's an honor. But at the same time, too, it's just like he had a bad day.
That's what it represents, a very bad day, exactly. Or maybe even an extended.
Yeah, and that's the huge thing is like for those that understand what that means, for someone to get that, it's not just like, oh wow, how did you get this? It's like don't. I mean, personally, it's difficult even, you know, it's really talking right now because right. It's just like there's so many things that come to the surface because you're thinking about war,
yeah,
and where we are. And it's just like, you know, it's like you see the own war in America of just like our morals and how things are just falling by the wayside. And it's like you're saying how quickly things could all of a sudden just shift.
Yeah.
And us find ourselves in a place that we don't need to be. And if we don't know the voice of the Lord, we're going to follow someone that just says, go left.
Go left. Put the Christians in the oven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what breaks my heart is I think about, you know, so many of the guys right now that are veterans that do not know Jesus Christ.
Right.
Do not have that truth. Do not have that understanding that when no one understands you, when no one has a perception, when no one has an empathy of your reality of your experiences, God does.
Right.
And it's just, but this is that reality that very few are educated about. Like you're saying, we don't know our history. We don't know. I mean, right. A lot of the things that we've talked about, I didn't know about.
Right.
And it's.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, when you see our president being hesitant to go, you know, we're going to get these boots off the ground, then you find out this is the very same scenario over and over again, because it was no boots on the ground in Vietnam.
Right.
And then finally they had some boots, and then lots of boots, and then 500,000 boots. And if you haven't been to the Vietnam War Memorial, you actually need to see what it's about. Then you need to see the wall. You don't need just to show up at the wall, because then you'll start seeing who Bob is when you look at his name on the wall. You'll understand he was 18 years old, drafted. Mm. He went in defense of the nation based on what they were telling him. And it means so much more. You know, you need to really connect with these guys. But also it shows you how important it is that we need to have godly leadership, you know, moral leaders. Because if we have immoral leaders, you know, not people that make, I'm not talking about people that sin or make them, so we all sin and fall short. I'm talking about people who strive to do what's right before God and man and understand this is a Judeo-Christian country, because all of a sudden, you can say, well, I'm not going to fight for that ungodly leader. And they're going to say, well, we're going to draft you. Mm. You know, your number's been drawn. You're going to, quote, Vietnam, whatever it is. And despite it being unjust, and all of a sudden you're finding out, they're saying, hey, we're going to make war against Israel. Like, well, I'm not going to fight that war. You know, and if we're so quick to be able to know, we're not going to fight this war against Israel, how come we're not that quick to fight? We don't think that for other human beings.
Yeah. Right. That's the huge thing. It's like when you understand the value of it, it's like you're that much more deliberate in your decision-making. I think about the conversation that we've had before that, you know, in many of the police departments, and from what I'm aware of, it's still to this day, in order to be able to have a taser, you have to have it administered to yourself.
Yeah,
you have to understand its effects, and it's the same thing. When you understand the effects of whatever it is that you're doing, you're that much more deliberate in your decision-making. You're not just, hasty.
Mm-hmm. If you've seen war, and those that have been to war, they'll tell you that's the last thing you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you got to do it, you got to do it. but that should not be the first thing on the table. That should not be. There's other ways to do this without having to have those horrific medals. The medals will represent horrific incidences that happen in that man or that woman's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, like I said earlier, the one reporter said, you know, he's my nightmare. That's why I'll never, I mean, here he is now, probably in his 60s, and he's still, that's just the young boy that he carries every single night in his sleep. And I don't know where he is with God and all that, but the thing about it is there's so many people that just pride themselves on following orders. That's what you do as a military person. You know, that's our victory. They said, take the hill. We took the hill. But if the hill, on top of the hill, is Israel, you don't take it.
No.
And then on top of that hill is something that's not of God to take. You can't take it. And there's going to come a time where you got to stand up like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we got to say, I'm sorry. I can't. I'm not going to do that. That's not of God. At one time we moved in an area of Judeo-Christian values, and there was an overarching desire to do what's right. But notice, since we left all that and entered into these other type of wars, we haven't won any of those.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't won any of those. So it's time for us, you know, to begin to pray and share the gospel with your neighbor. Begin to step outside the building and tell somebody about Jesus. Honor God. Get in his word. Abide with him. You need to know that you're hearing from God when somebody's giving you an order, and that order is telling you to do something against what God would want you to do. You got to know, because you're going to take a stand that could cost you your life. But greater love hath no man, though, than he laid down his life for his friend. God bless. Have a good weekend.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
If you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself and also sign up a friend.